We thank you, Father, for anointing us tonight, blessing this conference call, this fellowship, Lord, of like-minded believers. We thank you, Lord, that you have put the suit of armor on each one of us, Lord. The armor of the Lord is on every one of us. And we thank you, Father, that we wield our sword. We know the sword, and we speak the sword. And we thank you, Lord, that no harm is going to come to anybody that is walking in your will, Father. And we thank you for that. We lift everybody up that you're elect and you're chosen, Father, that your protection would be all around about them, Father. And we thank you for that. That goes for everybody across the world. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to lift them up and hold them up into your Psalm 91 arms, Lord. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be special. And we thank you for that. And we praise you, Father, for all that's going to be accomplished tonight. In the name of Jesus. All right. I'm going to ask that I'm going to go ahead and mute you, Wade. And anybody else that doesn't know how to mute their phone, let me know and I'll mute you. And you can always come out if you want to say something with star, star.
I don't.
Okay, Karen. I got you, girl. All right. All right, first thing we want to do is open it up for prayer, see if anybody needs any prayer or would like to pray.
I need prayer.
Okay.
For wisdom. I'm with this counselor who is in Wellspring's ministry, but she's connected to this guy, Bill Johnson, and there's so many different things that are going on. A lot of false prophets, a lot of that stuff happening, and so on. And I'm in a oneness Pentecostal church, so I'm a little bit confused as to which way to go, so I could use some wisdom.
Well, all right, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask and we pray that you give Karen great wisdom and discernment into where you want her, Lord. If you want her to be separated outside of any kind of denomination, Father, we just ask that you let her know that, Lord. Just put it in her heart, Father. And we just praise you, Lord, for the work you're doing in Karen. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to direct her and guide her where you want her. In Jesus' name, amen. You believe that, Karen?
I sure do. Thank you.
Amen. Glory to God. All right. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Anybody else need prayer? Would like to pray? Well, let's just pray for all these people that are coming up into this holiday season. Lord, we just pray that there, these terrorist actions that we've heard about that may be coming to the U.S. or maybe already here, Lord, don't know. But we ask for your protection against them, Lord. And if it's your will to bring this about, we ask that you protect your chosen, Lord. We know that you have to do a lot of shaking to get people's attention off of themselves and off of the world and off of their flesh, Lord, and don't know how exactly you're going to do that. Got some kind of an idea, but it's not up to me. It's up to you. But we just ask, Father, that all your chosen be protected. All your elect be brought into that place of safety, Father. And we thank you that you're going to do that, and we praise you, Father. Lord, we just ask for more signs and dreams and visions, Lord, that would pinpoint when these things are going to happen. If that be your will, Lord, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Lord, we know that we all have to be ready. We know that we all have to be abiding in the ark of Christ. Now, more than ever in the history of man, we need to be abiding in Christ. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've opened up our eyes to see that the destruction coming upon this land is going to be devastating. It's going to take many lives. But, Lord, our eyes are focused on you and not the things around about us. Not the things in the natural, Lord. We keep our eyes focused on you. We're walking in the Spirit, not in the natural. And we praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in every one of us, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Oh, praise you, Lord. Amen. All right. Anybody else want to pray? What about testimonies and praise reports? That's always good.
Michael, can I share a little bit what I'm getting feeling as Lord's been saying?
Sure.
What's going on here with you?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
This is really the big impression that I'm getting from a lot of this. We're definitely going to see some stuff happen. It's coming. And it's been some terrible warning. And it's just, it's gonna start up soon. But he also let me know and have given me that impression of seeing it work through my life that we're going to be able to pray through things. And we're going to, with fervent prayer, and we're going to get down and just plead for the Lord, for salvation, grace, and for protection. We'll have that. But here's the warning with that. We'll get puffed up with the possibility of losing humility and thinking, oh, we're super saints or whatever. We get pride from this because we're going to see some things happen, and the Lord is going to be coming in a mighty way to protect us, at least the chosen, and we are, a lot of us. But it's also a place where our hearts can get lifted up because of that, and we're going to maybe think we're more than what we are, or we've got some kind of a status amongst the rest of the brethren, and that's not the purpose. That's not why it's there. The purpose is for us to accomplish His will, stay humble, pray through things, you know, plead for the Lord for deliverance, you know, just that's what we're here for, to be the bride, to help the rest of the people come through that are going to get through this, especially the people out in the apostate world are going to be shaken. But we can get puffed up, because if we get puffed up, that's going to put His wrath on us. It's not going to go well. We can't get in the place where that we become vulnerable to the Lord's wrath. We have to stay humble servants and let Him work through us and through their lives, but not to think we're anything more than just being vessels, being used by God to get His will done. And He's going to provide well. He's going to do some neat things. He's going to do some wonderful things for us and things we can't even imagine. That's what I'm getting at. You know, He's going to do a new thing. That's what I just read tonight. But the point is to keep ourselves in humility. And you've done some good teaching on that, you, David, and even actually another brother was here for a while. But that's just the impression I'm getting on a lot of this lately.
Amen. There's nothing for us to be proud about if you really look at it. The only reason anyone gets proud is because of flesh. God has given us everything. We don't furnish anything. All we're doing is walking in faith, and God supplies that to us. So there ain't really nothing for anybody to get proud about. And David's right. There's going to be people that are going to be trusted, that are going to be deluded. They're going to get puffed up in their old head in the times ahead, because the Lord said that's going to happen. But just like He's talking about, there's nothing. There ain't nothing that we need to be proud about. God furnishes everything to us. There ain't nothing we can do to save ourselves or anybody else. It's all dependent upon God. So that's good, David. Thank you very much. All right. Anybody else want to share anything? Testimony, praise report, or comment? Or what the Lord's put on your heart.
Brother Michael?
Hey, Angie. Go ahead.
All right. I just want to share something that really impacted me yesterday. I was watching a documentary with Michael, my husband here, and we were watching this together, and there was a segment in this documentary where they were showing a sheep farmer, and they were showing how this sheep farmer was shearing one of the sheep, and he had all four legs tied together, and the sheep was just lying there and had a lot of wool, you know, a really big coat, and there was a lot to shear, and the sheep was just lying there, and this farmer was just shearing the sheep, and all the coat was coming off, and the sheep was just lying there, and just, you know, seeming very peaceful and very at ease, and then this sheep farmer, he took the sheep with his, the legs all still tied together, now fully sheared, and he put him in a little wheelbarrow, and he took the sheep to another location, and then all of a sudden he took the sheep out of the wheelbarrow and lay it on the ground, and then not too far from the sheep's head was this little pan and this very sharp blade, and then he was positioning the sheep's head, and I had to close my eyes, and I said, is he going to kill him? Is he going to slaughter his man? What's going on? But I couldn't stand to look at this. And the amazing thing to me was, yes, he was about to slaughter the sheep, but the amazing thing to me was that this sheep was so completely submissive, so completely passive, so completely at peace. I mean, there wasn't even, like, throughout the whole time during the shearing process and during this time that the sheep was on the ground and he was about, you know, he or she was about to be slaughtered, there was not so much as any sign of irritation, annoyance, not a kick, not a sound that would indicate any unrest. This sheep was so at peace, I was absolutely astounded, I mean, at this whole process. And it reminds me of Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And I have had absolutely no experience with sheep. I've never been on a sheep farm. I've never, you know, had the privilege to get around them and to kind of know how they are, but this really spoke to my heart, and in a way that I'd never known before. Like, I just didn't know that this, you know, this is the way they are. And then, you know, to read the scripture and to see, you know, how Jesus went, at his Father's will. I mean, it just, for me anyway, it just really impacted me, and I was just astounded, and I thought, wow, you know, I want that kind of a walk where I'm utterly, you know, submissive before the Lord, you know, fully trusting and, you know, with no unrest, completely at peace. And anyways, to me, it was just such an amazing thing just to view and to see, because I never saw an animal so submitted to, you know, the hands of his or her master. So anyways, it was really special. And just wanted to share that.
What a picture. What a picture. My goodness. Yeah, I've never been around sheep myself very much. That's awesome that they would do that, you know. That's what the word tells us, that, you know, the Lord did. He went like the sheep led to slaughter. Didn't open his mouth. My goodness. All right. Anyone else would like to share a testimony? Yeah, go ahead.
No, when Angie was sharing that, I mean, it's really a type of how the Lord wants us to be. And it's just it's an awesome, awesome type. But when she was sharing that, it basically reminded me, I saw a video of some Christians that were going to be basically executed by ISIS. And they were in the orange jumpsuits, and they marched down the beach, and they just, they just kneeled down, and you know, they weren't fighting, they weren't opening their mouths, they weren't, you know, they were just, you know, submitted. And I was like, Angie, you know, when, you know, I didn't know if they were going to show it or not, but I couldn't watch it as far as, you know, what was going to happen. But it impacted me to see that, just like it impacted Angie to see those sheep, that, you know, these Christians were just, you know, they knew they're being martyred for the Lord, and I was just looking at the looks on their face, and it was just, you know, there was just, it was just total submission, and it just kind of, you know, it really touched my heart as far as that. And it was, you know, Lord, you need, you know, if that day ever comes, that in me, you know. So I thought that was, you know, an awesome thing Angie shared, and just wanted to share that.
Amen. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, you know, I watched a video 2 or 3 years back. This was over in Africa somewhere where the Muslims were really going on a rampage. And they had some Christians that they were trying to burn. And they were, some of the Christians were trying to get away. But there was this one old man, I never will forget as long as I live, this one old man, he must have known Christ as his friend, because he was just like that. He sat there, and while other ones were trying to get away, he was pulling the brush up on himself, and the fire was not even burning him. He wasn't crying out or anything. He's just as calm and just bringing the brush out. And that's all I saw. I don't know what happened, but he might have been impervious to all of that, but that's what he was doing. And I praise God for faith like that. That's what that's what God wants us. He wants our eyes on Him, so we don't have to be affected by the world. Amen. That's good, Tim. All right, anybody else? Chad?
Yeah, hey, Michael.
Hey, did you have something that you wanted to relate? I forgot what you were talking about. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I appreciate what's been shared so far. It's really been ministering to me. I was just saying that I just remembered a thought of something that I had seen on a report the other day, that all of the radiation that's been released from Fukushima so far has been greater than all of the 800 nuclear tests that were done in the U.S. over the years. And I was just thinking of, I guess, how, you know, things can be perceived, because, I mean, I know we're aware that judgment has already begun, and that it's increasing, and that much more is coming. And it just kind of, I guess it was kind of sobering to me in a way, because of how, you know, it's being done in more of a gradual and yet a more intense way at the same time. I mean, the ways of the Lord are just so awesome. And of course, I've been finding at the same time He's been dealing with my own heart, just really getting down to, you know, the core issues of who I am, which I've been crying out to Him for a while. And I'm thankful for that lamp that's, you know, burning brighter inside of the, into more of the dark places of my soul. And the Lord just encouraged me with where He spoke to me the other night, that as some of the very foundations of my core belief systems, things that, you know, certain parts of my personality rest on, and just everything who I am is being shaken, and the things are crumbling that are not of Him, just remember to keep my gaze on Him and look to Him, because, you know, I want to be rooted in the kingdom that cannot be shaken, so that as unrest increases around me, I'll be a beacon of peace, you know, of light, when others see that I'm not being shaken by the things going on around me. That's the place I've been crying out for the Lord to bring me to for a while, and I've been finding He's been doing that. And even though it seems gradual and sometimes in a way, agonizingly drawn out. I don't want him to stop at the same time. I'm continually crying out for the grace to endure it, to endure the process of the Lord looking upon me, which is very, he's a consuming fire, and I want all of me consumed that's not of him. And so I'm just thankful for the, just his awesome grace and his gentleness, and I just want him to complete the process, no matter what has to take place, no matter what kind of shaking has got to take place in my own personal life to bring me there. The Lord says it's his desire to bring me into that place of perfection, manifestly, and I'm thankful for that. It's been given as a gift, and realizing that and holding on to that really helps, but then also having the wisdom to cooperate with him, having the knowledge and the cooperation at the same time, the wisdom to know how to cooperate with the Lord so that I'm not a hindrance to the process of his good work. And so, anyway, that just, those are some thoughts for me for now. So I guess I just, I'm just in awe of the Lord. May he be glorified in this vessel.
Amen. Thank you, Chad. Yep, that's right. Praise God. We're children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. And if God is for us, who's going to be against us? And in Romans 8:32, it says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? And that's all things that are needed to walk this walk of Christ, being abiding in Christ. He's going to give us everything we need. And all we have to do is just believe and renew our mind with the Word. Understand what the Word says about your walk with him. You'll be fine in the days ahead. Praise God. Okay, anyone else have a testimony, praise report, or just would like to share whatever God's got on your heart?
I've got a thought.
Okay, Karen, go ahead.
Okay, none of us really remember being born. I don't. It probably took about 4 hours or so. If any of us get martyred, it's probably going to take a little less than 4 hours, and then that's our life eternal. So sometimes I think it's how we see these things that can, create fear or expectation. So just a thought.
Amen. Well, those guys with they got their heads cut off, they didn't feel any pain.
No.
They knew that they were going to be with their God.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. All right. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
All right. Anyone else?
Brother Mike.
Yeah, go ahead, Michael.
I was thinking this day about the scripture in, I think it's in Luke, when the Lord was at the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was praying with great sorrow. He was praying to the Father, if possible, Heavenly Father, let this cup pass from me. And he was, it says in one of the scriptures that it was, as it were, great drops of blood, his sweat was like drops of blood, his sorrow of heart. But the thing that stood out to me is it says, and when he came back to his, he told his disciples, the ones that came with him, I think it was Peter, James, and John, he said, pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. And he came back and he found them sleeping for sorrow. It says, sleeping for sorrow. And that phrase has just been, I'm recognizing in my own heart, and I'm recognizing around me, that there's a slumber that I'm that I'm not able to put my fingers on exactly what the root of it is, but I thought of that, and I thought of the scripture that talks about the bridegroom. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And it's so critical. I think what happens, and I'm thinking of that scripture that says we are saved by hope. This is in Romans 8. It says we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why should he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that which we do not see, then do we with patience wait for it. Another place it says, I think it's in Hebrews 6. it says that which hope we have is an anchor for our souls. And hope, I think what's happened with many people, the process of God, you see the scripture says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We see so many scriptures that talk about cast not away your confidence, which has a great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that if you'll do the will of God, you will yet receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but them that believe to the saving of the soul. And then there's other such scriptures in James 5, when he says, take my brethren, the prophets that have spoken in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience, and behold, we count them happy which endure. For you have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, how the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. All through the scriptures, and I'll pick another one in Hebrews 3, maybe, when he says in there, take heed lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Another place in Hebrews, I think, 2, when he says, and Christ, as a son over his house, whose house are we if we hold the confidence and rejoicing of hope firm unto the end? There's a very strong tendency when he said, if you endure. And the picture I get, read throughout the word, that there's an awful lot of people that start with boldness. They don't endure the process. They don't stick with it all the way to the end. And they draw back. He says, and then he goes on and said, so we see they could not enter into the land because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. But the thing of drawing back, and I really believe right now there's a strong assault of the enemy against the people of God, to cause them to lose confidence, to lose hope. And he says in there, I want to remind it again, he says, we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. It's not something you can see. For if we see it, why would we hope for it? But if we hope for that which we do not see, then do we with patience wait for it. Between the promise of God and the fulfillment of the promise is always a deep valley or a steep mountain. There's always obstacle to the fulfillment of the promise. And we see that after they patiently endured, they obtained the promises. Be followers of those who through faith and patience have inherited the promises. All through the Word of God, the promise of God and patience, and faith and patience is mixed together. They're brothers, they're companions, they walk together. But without patience, your faith will not be realized, because many times it's like the unjust judge in prayer, you know, when the widow woman that would not take no for an answer just kept coming back until the judge finally was worn out. But we've got to be very careful at this hour, because there's going to be, as we see the darkness increasing around us, as we see the heaviness, that's what these disciples were experiencing at the Garden of Gethsemane. They were seeing a deep heaviness that was upon them, they began to be so affected by it that they slept for sorrow. The time when they desperately needed to be watching, they were sleeping for sorrow. And the time when the bridegroom tarried, it had been a long season. They'd been waiting a long time. They tarried. They all slumbered and slept. And I believe right now, you know, another place, I think it's in, I'm thinking it's somewhere around Luke 14 maybe, or I can't tell. I mean, Mark 14. But what it says, for as a man, for as a man who is a householder, it says, who went on a far journey and left his house, gave authority to his servants, to each man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Be ye also ready. No, he says, watch therefore, you know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, or at midnight, or at morning, or at cock crowing, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. What I say to one, what I say to you, I say to all, watch. For as a man taking a far journey, who gave authority to his servant, to each man his work, commanded the porter to watch. Watch therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, midnight, cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all, watch. This is going to be all through the scriptures. I see that, you know, that the temptation, after another one in Matthew 24, when he says, for if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would have come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour you think not the Son of Man cometh. For as it says, who then is that wise and faithful servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find them, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find them so doing. Verily I say, he will make them ruler over all that he has. But if that servant shall say in his heart, that evil servant, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to eat and drink with the drunk, and smite his fellow servants, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he's not aware, in an hour when he looks not for him, and will cut him asunder, appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. It says in Luke, unbelievers, it says hypocrites in Matthew. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the next verse says, and then the kingdom of heaven shall be like 10 virgins. And he goes right into the 10 virgins who all slumbered and slept. And I really see through all of the parables of Christ talking of the end times, the tendency, I come as a thief. Watch therefore, for you don't know when your Lord comes. You know, all through the scriptures, there's that tendency to slumber in these days. Even the time, the most desperate time, when the disciples said, pray that you enter not into temptation. Watch and pray. And they slept. They slept for sorrow. And the time when the bridegroom's coming, and in the season, the waiting, they began to slumber. And the next, they all slumbered and slept. And there's a I can tell in my spirit right now what I'm experiencing in my own spirit. I think the Lord sometimes allows me to experience some of these things just to kind of, it's not different from anyone else, but this is a temptation in this hour. I've experienced it. In my spirit, I've been fighting for that hope, to keep a hold of that lively hope. You know, it says in 1 Peter, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has begotten us again unto a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And that's unto a lively hope. We have a tremendous hope, but we've got to keep it alive, a lively hope. We've got to be very careful to watch. We've got to trim our lamps. We've got to be aware. And I really sense in my spirit right now that this is going to be one of the things that's right now going to take even the five virgins that were the wise virgins. They were sleeping also. That's not a good sign. That's not a good sign at all. I believe that's not the highest order at all, that they would slumber and sleep while the bridegroom tarried. That's what made them go to sleep. They couldn't watch. They just got tired of watching. They waited and waited and waited, And finally, they just got tired and dozed off and went to sleep. And I believe with all my heart, this is something that's coming as an assault of the enemy. I can say by the word of the Lord, I feel it in my spirit. I can prophesy it. There's a spirit of slumber that's going to try to take the saints of God away from watching. And this is the time. Brothers and sisters, it's the time of temptation. It's the time when we, all of us, are facing the most intense hour of human history. We're facing our own cross, as it were, at Gethsemane. We're facing all of these things right now. And the time when we ought to be watching, there is a temptation from the enemy and a temptation from our own flesh that in that very hour, the most critical hour of all, that the spirit of slumber would overtake us and we would find ourselves sleeping for sorrow. Sorrow of the hour, sorrow of the intensity, sorrow of the darkness that's so sweeping the earth, the overwhelming intensity, the size of the giants, all of these things. And also the other thing that will cause us to sleep is the long waiting. We've heard so many promises. The Lord's going to visit his people. There's going to be a mighty movement of God upon a remnant of people in this hour that are going to bear the anointing of God. And meanwhile, struggle to get along with your wife sometimes, or struggle to, you know, the basics of life that you say, what's wrong? What's going on here? I thought I was way beyond all that. You know, one day I'm sweeter than a pie, next day I bite like a dog. You know, I want to be very... We can lose hope in the long process, the long seasons. But as he said, I share that scripture again. It's in Hebrews 10, maybe around 34 or something, where it says, cast not away your confidence, which has a great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that if you'll do the will of God, you will receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but them that believe to the saving of the soul. And the next verse says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. But it's the whole beginning of the faith chapter. But that's what leads up to, don't cast away your confidence, brothers and sisters. You know, that scripture in Mark 4, when he says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man who casts seed into the soil and rose up night and day. And he knew not how it grows, but the earth brings forth of itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. And that whole process... He rises up night and day. To me, that signifies that he planted the seed, but he kept looking and saying, did it come up? Did it come up? He's looking at it, wondering. But faith says, this is true seed. It is the word of God. And what the Lord's saying in that is, if you'll plant the true word of God, it will bring forth some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And the word of God will bring forth in your life. He says, having this confidence that he which has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. But there is a strong, I see it, I can see it on other brethren right now, not in judgment, but in discernment, and I can see it attacking me in the same way right now. And there is a supernatural slumber that will try to take us, either for the darkness and the sorrow that we see around us, or the long seasons of waiting. That's why he says again and again, be followers of those who through faith and patience have inherited the promises. And we see that after they patiently endured, he obtained the promises. And again and again, that one scripture, just again I'll remind you that one, but take my brethren the prophets, this is in James 5:10, take my brethren the prophets that have spoken in the name of the Lord, as an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. And behold, we count them happy which endure. For you have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, how that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. God will be faithful if we endure. If we don't draw back, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. The tendency brothers and sisters, is before, and it's the darkest hour, is just before the dawn. It's just before the fulfillment of the promise that the darkness is greatest. It's then that I've sat out in those dark nights waiting for some elusive wapiti to walk by, and it's the coldest time, and it's the time that's the hardest. And I've gotten up sometimes just at that time and wandered away somewhere. And when I got back, I see the hind end of the elk that just walked by if I'd have sat still. But that's the kind of thing. It's that thing, if we would just hold steady, don't cast away your confidence. We are saved by hope, but you don't see hope. You have to hope for what you don't see. Then you'll, with patience, wait for it, which hope is an anchor for our soul. It keeps our boat from drifting away, drifting off into the sea somewhere. And right now, brothers and sisters, I can tell you by the word of the Lord, and I speak prophetically right this moment, remember, is a great temptation in the darkest hour. And we ought to be watching the most. And we ought to be fervent in spirit. We ought to be keen in our service of the Lord as the householder who left each man his work. And then it says, but watch therefore, for you don't know when the master of the house comes. He said that again and again. So it says to me, this is going to be one of the great temptations of this dark hour, is that we would find ourselves slumbering. And he says, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. What I say to one, I say to all, watch. The Lord said that again and again and again. And when the Lord draws emphasis on something, what he majors in, we ought to major in. And when he talks about the end times, that's one of the major things he uses all through the scripture about the end times. Watch. You don't know when the master of the house comes. Watch. If you'd have known when the thief would have come, you would have watched. You would not have suffered your house to be broken up. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour you think not the Son of Man come. He says that again and again also. So brothers and sisters, I believe it's an exhortation of the Spirit. Watch. This is a time when we've got to keep our hope alive. We've got to be very, very careful that the darkness of the hour doesn't put us to sleeping for sorrow, and that we don't find the long season of waiting for the fulfillment of the promise to keep us, and that we lose that. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered. It's like they waited and waited a long time. I just want to say that that's something that the Lord's been stirring in my own heart, and it's something I'm dealing with in my own spirit. It's not something that I read in a book. It's something that I'm wrestling with. What is this that I'm experiencing? What is this? What is this thing that's trying to come over me? What is this thing? And I felt like the Lord began to speak to me today while I was driving down the road, and I felt like that's what he was saying to me, that this is an exhortation for the whole body of Christ. It's going to be one of the premier temptations of this hour.
Amen. I believe it. Anybody got any comments? Watch, therefore, cause you know not when the master comes. Always be ready. Always. Have your lamps full. Prayer and fasting. Don't have a prayerlessness life, if that's a word. Always be in prayer. Always asking the Father for things. Always asking for information. Always asking for direction. Always keeping your eyes on Him. Praise God. Another good one, Michael. That's something that's been real heavy on my heart as well. Are we all ready? Are we all ready for this thing? I don't know. I pray that we are. I pray that I am. Are we doing everything possible to stay in the ark of Christ? Praise God. All right, anybody else?
Hello?
Hey, Andrew.
Hey, I got a couple of verses here. It's about wax. And one of them's in Matthew. And because the lawlessness shall be multiplied, the love of many shall wax cold. Well, that's one wax, but we don't want that wax. We want the wax that's in chapter 4 of Romans. Yet looking, and I always use that looking as that mirror quotation in when y'all look in the mirror with an unveiled face. Yet looking unto the promises of God, he doubted not through unbelief, but waxed strong through faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That's a good example from our Abraham guy. And we receive those blessings of Abraham in Christ Jesus. We must remember this so that we can be strong in the time to come. And that might of God that's promised us as a light for us, for our faith and our love, agape style love. And that light, I'm still on that light verse that's supposed to be in your temple, and all those seven lights that are in that chapter 11, Isaiah. On that note, I have a question. It's about the Assyrians. Right here on the other page in chapter 10 of Isaiah, it talks about a deliverance from the Assyrians. And I'm not really good at getting the spirit of the word in some of this Old Testament stuff. And it's 10:24. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, O my people, that dwellest in Zion, and that's where the bride is, be not afraid of the Assyrians. He shall smite thee with the rod, and shall lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt. For yet a little while, and the indignation shall cease, and mine anger in their destruction. And if you go down to 27, it says, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulders, and his yoke from off his neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. And I have a King James version here, and the 26th chapter here, I don't know what this slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb is. And I think that these verses are pertinent because we were told that Assyria was likened unto Nineveh's people. And I seem to remember something spoken of by David Eales when he saw America that was like a big swimming pool. And he had a fishing rod in his hand. And, it just seems like there might be something here. I just can't put my finger on it. And that's all. I was kind of hoping maybe, like, is this deliverance going to be from the present situation? Or is this deliverance going to be because of the seven-year tribulation that had come through this? Because it mentions Assyria here and Egypt. And those are in succession. And I'm just still thinking about it anyway. That's all. I was kind of hoping maybe someone can make that clear for me.
Anybody want to try to talk to them? Well, yeah, I've got a thought. We've been over this a few times, so I understand what the word is saying here. It refers to now. Is that he talks about, oh, my people that dwellest in Zion. Well, in Zion, which is a type and a shadow of the bride, God's going to protect during the tribulation times. And Assyria and Egypt, of course, is the beast and the world. And what happens, you know, during that period of time is the beast comes against the Christians, and that's all in the world. So that's what he's talking about. For yet a very little while, and the indignation against thee shall be accomplished, and mine anger shall be directed to his destruction. After all this is said and done, as you know, the USA will be completely demolished at the end, as also will be the other armies that come against the Lord. The world armies will come against the Lord, and they will be smitten, and they will be taken care of. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall depart from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed by reason of the anointing. The anointing of the bride is special. The anointing of the bride provides protection for the bride. And it's an anointing that will come about during the tribulation, that the man-child will be anointing people. All the man-child ministries come out of the bride. So that's the Zion he's talking about, gives us that type and a shadow of the bride and what her. Let me get this. I'm trying to get the it'll work on my Kindle here. Hang on just a second. It says in verse 20, and it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and they that are escaped of the house of Jacob, that's both the Gentiles and the Jews, shall no more again lean upon him that smote them. They're not going to go back to the world, but they shall lean upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. And a remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. And it says, for though thy people, Israel, be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant of them shall return. A destruction is determined, overflowing with righteousness. For a full end, and that determined, will the Lord God of hosts make in the midst of all the earth. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, O my people that dwellest in Zion, that's the bride, be not afraid of the Assyrians, he's telling us. That's the world. That's the beast. Though he smite thee with the rod and lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt. For yet a very little while, and the indignation against thee shall be accomplished, and mine anger shall be directed to his destruction. And the Lord of hosts will stir up against him a scourge, as in the slaughter at Midian, at the rock of Oreb. Remember, that was Gideon. He did that. He slaughtered them, man. He took them over. He took them out. And his rod will be over the sea, and he will lift it up after the manner of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall depart from off thy shoulder. I ain't going to have to worry about it anymore. And his yoke from off thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed by reason of fatness or anointing. Praise God. Yes, that's the deliverance of the bride during the tribulation. And the anointing that God's going to place on them is going to be awesome. Remember what Jesus said. He said, the things that you've seen me do, you're going to do. Greater things you'll do. You know, those greater things are going to be because God's anointing, Jesus is up there. He's orchestrating this thing with the Father. And he's on our side. And he knows every move we make. And he's going to tell us every move to make as well. And so his anointing is going to be upon the bride. Does that make any sense, Andy?
Yeah, it makes lots of sense. And sort of a scripture verse was kind of bouncing around in my head while you were mentioning Zion a few times there to run behind the broad walls of Zion. And then there's Nathaniel there, who actually was capable of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Wasn't he? Yeah. Anyway, just thinking about those two. Yeah, so rebuilding the walls and running behind the broad walls of Zion. Hmm. Well, I guess that's something for me to think about, too. Okay, thank you.
All right, well, thank you. Praise God. All right, anybody else? Anybody want to add any comments to that? Or ask any questions? Don't know if I can answer them, but I bet somebody can in here.
Hey, Michael.
Hey.
I just want to add a comment to what Michael Montana shared. It's like, really relating to it, and I just see where, you know, when we're in this faith walk, a lot of times in the beginning, you know, the Lord blesses us with answered prayers fairly quickly and healings and a lot of things where we just kind of see, or when we come to the Lord, you know, like with me, I was totally delivered from, you know, drugs and alcohol. And it was just, you know, just in an instant, you know. But as we walk this faith walk, you know, he wants to work patience out for, you know, in us. And we all want to be used of the Lord. And, you know, we're all waiting for something. And we're all waiting for the latter rain to come. And you know, the outpouring, and you know, we're, you know, and seeing the revival, and you know, we want to be out there praying for people and seeing healings and wanting our gifts you know, exercised and walking those gifts and, you know, have a ministry and all these things. And you know, the Lord's still working on us, and there's a, you know, what Michael was saying is, you know, that patience, there's, you know, we've got to come into that, you know, before, you know, the manifestation. So a lot of these things we're hoping for, we're not seeing. And, you know, I'm just kind of seeing as, actually, Michael Montana shared with me one time, because I was, you know, I was kind of dealing with these things, and he says, you know, Abraham, when he received the promise, was a very young man, and when that promise was fulfilled, he was a very old man, and in between that time, there was valley, and, you know, a lot of us are in that valley, and when we're in that valley is where we can start slumbering and sleeping. You know, we start questioning God. You know, we saw the power, not seeing the power, not seeing the anointing. We're just, you know, we just get into that valley, and that's when the enemy comes in. And because we're not enduring in our faith, we're not enduring in that promise. And, you know, we're starting to fall asleep in the spirit, and we're slumbering in the spirit. And so that's, you know, that's, I mean, what he spoke was just was an awesome word, is how easily we can fall into that slumber and sleep. And because we're not holding steady, you know, we're not holding fast to the promises, you know, that you know, that we've been promised. So, and I can relate to that because I've just, you know, I've been to some trials some times because I'm not patient. It's like I want it to happen, used, or whatever it is, and, you know, we get ahead of God, and, you know, and he's got to work that patience in us. So, what Michael shared just blessed me, and I just wanted to, you know, just add that to it. Because I can relate to what he's sharing.
Amen. You got a little something bugging your microphone or something because you're in and out. But I believe we could understand everything you were saying. It was just really a kind of a, I don't know, chopping words off and thing. But it was good. I couldn't understand you then.
Michael, can I share one more scripture?
Yes, sir, you can.
I'm just thinking of that one in Luke 21 where he says, "Beware lest at any time that your hearts would be overcharged eating and drinking and the cares of this life so that that day would come upon you unaware. For as a snare shall it come upon all that dwell on the face of the whole earth."
Don't be caught in that snare. Praise God. Be ready. Be ready, be ready, be ready, be ready. Heard a preacher say one time, praise God. Thank you, Michael. All right, anybody else? I'm going to ask the question tonight. Why is the prayerless life of the believer, why is it considered a great sin? A lot of times we think it's a weakness. And a lot of, you know, we give up all kinds of excuses why we can't get in there and fellowship with God. We say we don't have time. We got all kinds of distractions that come up when the situation needs to be addressed with prayer, we can't find time to do it. We need to let it be our honest desire that sin of a prayerless life, and understand that it's truly a sin. It's a reproach unto God Himself. When God Himself, He invites us to come to Him, to have conversation with Him, and to ask Him for the things that we need, and to experience the depth of His blessing, that time that we're in fellowship with Him. God created us in His own image, and He redeemed us by His own Son, so that we could have that conversation with Him. And that we might find during that conversation our highest glory and salvation. That feeling that the mighty God of the universe is talking to you. What use do we make of this heavenly privilege that He's given us to converse with Him? How many of you out there just spend 5 minutes a day praying? How many half an hour? How many of you an hour? How many of you pray constantly in the Spirit? You know, praying to God. That's what we need to be doing. I just wanted to throw that out there because I know in my life that I have neglected my prayer time at times when I should have been praying and I wasn't because, oh, I had to go off and do this or I had to go off. No. The most important thing right now is to strike up a friendship with the Lord in our own life. Get in your prayer closet. We talked about this many times in the past. Get in your prayer closet and talk to God and allow Him to talk back to you. That's the main thing right there, is to listen, to hear what He has to say to you. Fast and pray. And seek God with your heart all of your heart. Submit yourself. Surrender yourself to Him. He is an almighty God that desires your fellowship and our fellowship. He desires that above and beyond anything else. That's the reason He created us, is to have fellowship with Him. And we oftentimes allow the world to keep us from our conversations with the almighty God of the universe. We allow silly things to get in our way of our conversations with God. And it's time, just like Michael Montana was talking about, and Andrew was talking about, and Tim was talking about, and David was talking about earlier. We're in a time here that's critical. Critical in our life as a Christian. To be guided by the Holy Spirit, to be guided by God Himself. How are you going to do that if you're not praying? You can't. You can't. You have to get into that prayer closet. And Jesus went out to, before He ever did anything, He always, even before He started His ministry, when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He went out into the wilderness and fasted and prayed and sought God for 40 days without that. And what happened? Well, He was tested. God wanted to test Him. He put Him in a trial. And God and Jesus passed that trial. He kept throwing the word right back to Satan at the time. And finally, He sent Satan on his way because the word will do that. That's the sword of the Spirit. That'll whack that devil's head off every time. It is written, devil. And that's all you got to do. But we need to seek and find out what the Lord wants us to do and how He wants us to do these things. Prayer and fasting is fellowship with God. Getting in the Word of God is listening to God. And that's what Jesus told us to do over in John. In Isaiah 58 and 3 it says, "Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find your own pleasure, and ye exact all your labors." In other words, we're in selfishness, we're in selfish desire, and we're in selfish ambition. That old man's still living, he's thriving in the midst of their fasts. And God wants us to do a spiritual fast. You can still keep from eating food and still be a big sinner. You know, we like to rely on our juice or Coca-Colas or anything that we can drink and feel like we've done something, you know, when in fact you haven't prayed any. You haven't sought the Lord in the Word. I'm talking from experience for myself. I'm not talking about y'all. I want you to see by the example that I'm putting forth here that God wants us to seek Him with all our hearts. And you can't do a spiritual fast and walk in sin. That just ain't possible. In verse 4, 58 of Isaiah, He says, "Behold, ye fast for strife and contention, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You fast not this day so as to make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I have chosen? The day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a rush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord?" Boy, man, he's cutting right to the chase, isn't he? He's getting real critical of a natural fast that doesn't have any kind of a spiritual component, no spiritual focus whatsoever. Then he speaks about another. "Is not this the fast that I have chosen?" Listen to this. "To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke." What's the wickedness and what's that yoke? Well, that's that old man. Y'all remember when the three Hebrews went into the fire and the only thing that burned up was their bonds? What do you think that means? It means the wood, hay, and the stubble. That old man was burned up inside that furnace. And that's what he wants. That's the wickedness, and that's the yoke right there, that flesh. Jesus came with that Isaiah 61 anointing to open the prison for those who were bound and to set them captives free, praise God. And how does he do that? Well, the old man's got to die. Verse 6 again, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? And so we see here that there's a spiritual fast that breaks every yoke. And God's fixing to tell you about his fast, and not that natural fast. They were failing to do anything but sin in the midst of their fast. He said in verse 7, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? Well, it ain't just refraining from eating. It's giving it to somebody who needs it. That's denying yourself. When you're on a food fast, give that food or the money you would spend on food during that period of time to somebody who needs it. That's what he's calling a spiritual fast. A physical fast is to deny your physical self food. A spiritual fast is to deny yourself food, because self is a spiritual entity. It's a sinful, carnal entity, and if you don't feed self, what happens? Well, self dies. How many of you know that you can refrain from feeding your body and you still feed yourself? And that's what God's talking about here. He said, okay, you're fasting, but it ain't doing you a bit of good whatsoever. Now let me show you what a real fast is. And it's a fast that does away with that bondage of that old man that's hindered your walk all this time and my walk. It's not enough to not eat food. It's to give it to somebody else. Deny yourself. Don't feed self. Give. Verse 7, is it not to deal thy bread to the hunger, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? You know, we all like our privacy and our peace, but it's also a sacrifice to bring people into your house. We all here have allowed people to come in and stay. And it's been a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice when you've got people that don't understand the true gospel and they're living in there and you're watching things. But you don't say anything because you're weak to the weak. You're denying self to allow them come in. And that's what God wants us to do with our fast. He wants it to be a spiritual fast that breaks the bondage of that old man at all times. And that's one reason for that, is so that we can communicate with God in a sinless way. He wants us to take part in that fellowship with him. And it's denying feeding self. Self always wants its way. That's a struggle every day. It's like being pulled through a knothole sometimes backwards. But you just got to make up your mind what you want more. You want Christ or you want that flesh? Anytime you give in to the flesh, you're feeding it. And when you deny it, it's dying. Jesus said, whosoever doth not bear his own cross, that's the one you die on, and come after me, can't be my disciple, cannot be my disciple. And when you fast, that's taking up your cross, whether it be a spiritual or a physical. And it is nothing that we ought not to ever stop. It's something we ought to do all the time. The Lord tells us when to fast. He'll show it tell you in your spirit when he wants you to fast and pray. He's told us in the morning prayer meetings when to fast and to pray almost every time. And sometimes he'll tell us individually, well, I want you to fast, but not John Doe over there. I don't want him to fast, but I want you to fast. I want you to kill some more of that flesh. And I want you to come after me. I want you to come ask me some things. I want you to come seek me with all your heart. God desires that, y'all. He really desires our fellowship with Him. Praise God. It says in Isaiah 58 and 10, "And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry," in other words, what your soul desires, make sure you're meeting somebody else's needs, "and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in darkness," oh, praise be to God, "and thine obscurity be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in dry places, and make strong thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places, and thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations." Well, that's what we need, isn't it? We need to go back and restore that foundation that's been falling down. "And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach." That's what we want. "The restorer of paths to dwell in. And if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day." Well, of course, we know the Sabbath is not a day anymore. It's all a time. We need to rest in the Lord. We need to rest that the Lord is taking care of everything, right? We need to cease from our works. That's the works of the old man. And we need to enter into the rest that he's talking about here. And it's denying the flesh. It's not feeding that old man. That's what the Sabbath is, right there. "And if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor it, not doing thine own way," not feeding your own self, really, "nor finding thine own pleasure." Praise God. Not finding your own pleasure, but we need to please the Lord, don't we? And we need to meet the brethren's needs. Our life here on earth as a Christian is to serve our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's our service. "Nor speaking thine own word." Ooh, boy, that means holding on to your tongue, doesn't it? Because it's a restless evil. James 3 and 8 says, "And the tongue can no man tame." Only the Lord can tame it if you give him faith. Then on verse 14 it says, "Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will make thee to ride upon the high places of the earth." How many of you want to ride on the high places of the earth? "And I'll feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." Oh, praise be to God. Praise God. Well, if we do this spiritual fast, there ain't no way you can fail. If you do what the spiritual fast calls for, and you don't feed your old man, and you deny yourself in the midst of a trial, then you ain't going to be listening to Satan. You're going to be an overcomer, right? And if you read the book of Revelation, all the promises are for the overcomers. Every one of them. There's not any promises to people who are not overcoming. What are they overcoming? Well, they're overcoming self and temptation. He's not doing away with the natural fast, but he is telling us, he said, if you don't eat food, give it to somebody who needs it. In other words, sacrifice yourself. Praise God. There's a wonderful revelation over in Shepherd of Hermas about fasting, and you should take a look at that. I forget where it is. You can look it up, but it's really a wonderful revelation of fasting in there that the Shepherd of Hermas was given. Praise be to God. Okay, get close to God. Allow Him to guide and direct your paths. All right, any comments? Or anybody got anything?
One more scripture.
Yes, sir.
Okay, this is in 1 Thessalonians 5. We're very familiar with this. "But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves you know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. But when they shall say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are the children of light. You are children of the day. You are not of the night, the darkness. Therefore, sleep others, but look and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, they that are drunk, are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be putting on the breastplate of faith, hope of salvation, to obtain salvation, Lord Jesus Christ.
Michael, you're breaking up. We heard most of it, I guess, but at the last, you kind of dropped off, dropped out. Yeah, I can hear you now.
You want me to share that scripture again?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
All right, hang on for just a second. Okay. It says, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write unto you. For yourselves you know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Let us not sleep, therefore, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that are drunken, are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on a breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Could you hear that one, Michael?
Yeah, we heard that. I heard that fine. Michael, unmute your mic.
Oh, man, I was talking away, too. Praise God. Yeah, that was awesome, Michael. We could hear every bit of that. Yep, that was 1 Thessalonians 5. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else got any comments? Anything they'd like to share? All right, quiet bunch tonight. What I was relating. Yeah, Jackie, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I was just switching phones.
Oh, okay.
But I am blessed with everything. It's exactly what I needed to hear. And a lot of what Michael Montana had shared was exactly what I just prayed to the Father about 2 hours before the conference call, about grown weary and well-doing and losing confidence and losing hope. And so I just praise God because it was an awesome confirmation for me. So thank you.
God is good, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
He is so awesome. He knows our very needs.
Does, exactly. It's exactly what I needed to hear. So thank you, Father.
Amen.
I'll mute again. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Anybody else? I was relating earlier that over in California, Southern California, they have a well over there that is turning loose tons and tons and tons of methane gas. I saw a radar picture of the cloud, and it is a huge cloud of methane. That stuff's pretty volatile, too. If it happened to get a spark of lightning or anything, man, that thing could, it could set off a big bomb. And it's also deadly to smell, too. It's odorless. I don't know if this particular batch has some capstan in it, which gives you that odor of what we commonly know as natural gas. But anyway, they've got a big cloud over there. They're not getting serious about it, it doesn't look like, for some reason. What's kind of ironic, or not ironic, but it's telling, is that it came out of fracking, there's a bunch of fracking going on. There had been in the past. And what happens, during those fracks, they'll punch a hole hydraulically into the earth to release, I guess, to put the water back in there. And it releases pressure, and of course, then you have this problem that they've got now. This is not the first time this has happened. It's happened numerous times up and down the Craton, the North American Craton, where they've been fracking right on the edge of that thing for quite some time now. And now it's showing we're getting a lot of things happening there. So it's just God doing his, getting ready for this great shaking, it looks like, and warning people. I believe these are warnings, actually, for us to be praying and to be praying for the elect and the chosen for God's protection upon them. And also for us to be bearing more fruit. You know, we've got people around us all the time that call themselves Christian that they don't show any fruit, and we ought to be praying for them, not criticizing them, but praying for them. And that's what God's been telling us in our morning prayer meeting, is pray for these people that are kind of struggling in our fellowship and around us, you know. So that's what he's been telling us, to pray for them, fast and pray for them. And so we've been doing that. And we're going to see miracles happen because of it. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to add, what the Lord's been showing you? This is the last day of fall. Matter of fact, winter comes in at 11:49 our time here on the East Coast tonight. 11:49 is when winter officially starts. And that's significant because of what the Lord has told us in the past. We'll just see what happens. We'll just put those things up on the shelf and pray and ask God for more clarity. A lot of people, we've seen a lot of prophecies on terrorist action across the United States during the holiday seasons. And that could happen in churches. It could happen in malls, anywhere like that. And we've also seen where they're talking about that after the first of the year, they were going to start it. And they have cells, they say, in every city of the U.S. ISIS does. But here's the great benefits of being in God's care. We don't have to worry about that kind of thing. We can pray for the people around us that they open up their eyes to see the truth, you know. We can do that. We can be praying for those people around us. We can be praying for the people out on the East Coast and out on the West Coast. I believe the East Coast is going to get hit the hardest because that's the largest population area. You know, I believe we've had a prophecy, and I think it came from one of our people conference call, that there's a storm coming, and then after the storm, there's going to be chasing. The earthquakes start. I believe it was Stan that gave that. And I believe that's what's going to happen. This storm is going to be the terrorist action, I believe. They say in one full swoop, you know, they're going to one right after another, hit these churches and schools and places where people gather during the holiday periods, or even after the first of the year, you know. So I don't know. We'll just wait and see. But we need to be praying.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, go ahead, Trish.
I was just pondering the conversation tonight, especially about, with Michael Montana starting out with not getting into sleeping and losing sight. And I just wanted to just relate a different perspective, or the same is that I have found when I'm not resting in the Lord, when I'm not being led of my spirit, when I'm being led of my my flesh and the old carnal man and the old man, you know, when I'm in works, you get tired really fast. You get discouraged really fast. You sin a lot, and that's very discouraging. And then you're more open and susceptible to things like condemnation, and you're influenced more by what others might think or say. And your eyes aren't on the Lord. And when my eyes aren't on the Lord, I'm not in rest, and I'm not hearing from the Lord. So I'm not in that place of encouragement, which is that wonderful place to be. You know, that's the rest and that's the peace and that's the delight. And that's just, you know, looking around and seeing God in everything and knowing He's sovereign. And that's just what gives me the desire to want to be with Him and fellowship with Him, because I can't do it on my own. And so that's why it's such a trap, you know, if we get so caught in legalism or religion, or if we get intellectual and we don't let the Spirit, you know, rise up in us and overrule the old man and, you know, our thoughts or wills or emotion. And I just wanted to throw that in, that it's I have found both sides of that, that when God, you know, His grace, when I remember His grace and I remember His mercy, it's just easier to run that race and stay in that race. And when I fall out, it's just so much easier to think that, you know, I'm just running a race and I just want to make it to the end. And just like, you know, when I read the gospel and in the men of the gospel and the people of the gospel, I mean, they messed up so many times and He was always just there for them. He was just there. And He's given me that desire to get back up and keep running. And He's put that love and that compassion in me and the desire to seek after Him, you know, with all of my heart. And that's the danger of what's happening in the apostate church is the religion and the legalism, or people that aren't resting in the Lord or don't know how much the Lord loves them. They get so caught in their works and what they have to do and what they say and so worried about what others think of them instead of what God's. And that's such a snare. It's such a trap. And it's exhausting. So I just wanted to throw that personal testimony out there.
Amen. That's right. If you're not in the Lord, you're in your own works. You're going to wear yourself out. Praise God. I remember reading about an old-time minister that had a revival. I think it was a Baptist minister. And I'm not real sure where it happened, but it talked about, I think it was back during Andrew Murray's day, it talked about this minister had a revival, and he worked so hard that he worked himself to death. When all God wants us to do is to just rest in Him. Praise God. All right. Anyone else? A lot of times we think we got to do this, we got to do that. The only thing we got to do is believe God. That's it in a nutshell. And believe that He's going to do what He said He's going to do. He's going to back up His word. All right. Anyone else? Is that you, Albert? That's you, down in Birmingham.
Yes, sir, it's me.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. I'm really being blessed this evening by just listening to all this wonderful, wonderful revelation. And, you know, I did a study here not long ago about when Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And, you know, I believe it was Peter. He didn't want Jesus to wash his feet. And he said, suffer it to be so. Let me do this. And he was teaching us how to wash each other's feet through revelations, through, you know, beautiful things, because we go out here and deal with this world on a daily basis, and our feet get contaminated. Our walk with Christ gets contaminated by this world. So when we come together like this here and give our different testimonies and our revelations that the Lord has given us, then we're washing each other's feet. So I just thank all y'all for washing my feet from the filth of this world this evening, because I feel tremendously refreshed. Thank y'all.
Amen, Albert. That's right. Me too. All right, anyone else? There's a wonderful little booklet on site. It's called The Sword of the Lord. And I think it came from Heaven's Helpers. I'm not sure, but I think that's where it came from. But this particular little booklet, I made a booklet out of it when I downloaded it. It has the promises of God on it. And it's broken up into 1, 2... At least two sections. Let me see here if there's any more. And it has all the promises, or a lot of the promises out of the Word of God in it. Yeah, there's two sections to it. One of them's called The Sword. And it has things like John 14:14. If you shall ask anything in my name, that will I do. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 21:22, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And it is written in Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them, and you shall have them. So you use this booklet like a sword. I do it. I got one in the truck, and I've got one here in my room, and I sometimes carry it in my coat when I go out. And it's Matthew 18:19. Again, I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. According to your faith, be it done unto you. Matthew 9:29. For all things are possible with God. Mark 10:27, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. Praise God. It is written, devil. Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. And it's got stuff like that written all through it. And the second one is called Silver Bullets. The first one was called The Sword, and the second one was called Silver Bullets. And it's just the promises written over again, and it's something that I carry around. And if you need a blessing, they've got one for blessing. It's got one for darkness. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. What does all leave out? Don't leave nothing out. And nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Luke 10:19. And then another one in darkness. Under the darkness deal there, it says, it is written, for he has put all things in subjection under his feet. 1 Corinthians 15:27. And so it's a neat little old booklet that I carry around. If I need to remember something, or what I'm doing is like Michael Montana often talks about, is memorize these verses and put them in your heart, and you'll have them with you all the time. You won't have to carry this booklet around. You'll just have it in your heart, and you'll bring it out. Everyone, therefore, who shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Woo, glory to God. Here's another one. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Matthew 16:19. Praise God. That's the keys right there. You can bind anything here on earth, and it's going to be bound in the spirit realm. And that's the promises that God gives us. And we're seeing them happen every day, y'all. We're seeing them happen. We're moving mountains. People getting faith to move mountains here. We're getting faith to affect the weather. We're getting faith to believe for healings and deliverances and whatever it is, you know, attacks. God gives us a warning about an attack, and we go into prayer mode, warfare mode, and the attacks are thwarted by God. Because God knows everything. He tells us when they're going to happen, and we go ahead. We used to, when I first came here, we'd wait until the attack happened, and then we'd try to pray it down. Well, sometimes we'd be successful, and sometimes not. But when he gives us the warning now, we go into prayer mode right away and go after that devil. And that devil is thwarted. His attack is stopped, and people's lives, their spiritual lives, have been saved because of it. Fear not, only believe, Mark 5:36 says. For all things are possible with God, Mark 10:27. Praise God. It's just full of good promises that you can use in your daily spiritual warfare. If you've got a need, it's in there. So you might want to go on site, type in the sword of the Lord, and download you a copy and stick it in your pocket and start memorizing those promises. Praise God. Okay, anybody else got anything they'd like to share?
I'd like to share a scripture.
All right, Angie, go ahead.
Yeah, it's Romans 15:13, and it says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." And this scripture has just been really standing out to me lately, and I really recognize that God is our only hope. You know, in this world of chaos and trouble and everything that's going on, God is truly our only hope. And this scripture has brought me much hope. And so I just wanted to share it with you all, Romans 15:13.
Amen. Anybody else got a scripture they want to relate? Here's a good one in Deuteronomy 28:7. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. How many of you want your enemies to do that? I do. I want them to get out of here. I don't want to mess with me anymore. He says in Exodus 23:26-28, I will cut them off. I will send my fear before you. I will cause confusion among all the people to whom you come, and will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. What does that mean? And I will send hornets before you. That means when they turn their backs to you, they're running away from you. Praise God. Praise. How many of you want your enemies to run from you? I do. And that sword of the Lord will do it. It'll send them to flight. The hornets will get in them and confuse them and send them on the way. That's what God loves us so much. He'll do anything to protect his people that he loves. You know, somebody was relating something. I believe it was last night. I believe it was Robin. And she said that somebody had a dream about watching the Lord Jesus up in heaven, and that some who came up to heaven, he would greet with a nod, and some he would just barely look at, and some he would grin and welcome them, and others he'd just be beyond beside himself. He'd go over like an old friend, say, "Come here, buddy," you know, and things like. How many of you want the Lord to do that to you? I do. So we need to strive and run for the Lord, surrender our lives and submit our lives to him, and let him be our friend. You can't be a friend if you don't talk to him. So we all need to talk more to God. Talk to him every morning when you wake up. Ask him what he wants you to do today. He'll do it. He'll tell you what he wants you to do. And then go to his word. He'll talk to you. He'll talk to you all up and down that page. Praise God. All right, anybody got anything they want to share or pray about?
Michael, there's one more scripture that I'm thinking of.
Go ahead.
It's in Hebrews 6. I don't know what verse, but somewhere in there.
And it says this, it says, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, and that you be not slothful, but followers of those who through faith and patience have inherited the promises.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Awesome.
Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir, Chad.
Hey, what I heard there is it's a thought. Faith and patience are married, and they can't really be separated.
There you go.
Not for faith to come to maturity, anyway. That's my thought on that there.
Amen. That's what he. That's why these trials come on us, is to work in that patience in us, isn't it?
Amen.
Yeah. As these trials come upon us, so God can work that patience and long-suffering in each one of us. Praise God. All right, anybody need any prayers or need to pray about something before we get out of here?
Hey, I'd like to pray for a brother. It's on my heart.
All right. We'll believe with you, brother.
Hey, brother in the Lord. Father, I just lift up this brother to you. And Lord, I thank you for the good friend he's been to me, for the wonderful, awesome work I've seen you do in his life in such a short time, Lord. And I know you're still doing a good work in him, Lord. And Lord, you've just really impressed on me, and I know you've impressed this on him too many times, that it's so important for us to be in fellowship and not forsake the assembling of ourselves. And that oftentimes just means sometimes just a couple of us getting together, that we're assembling ourselves in the body as often as we can. And Lord, I know it's got to be your doing, it's got to be you that works that out, but I also know there's a due diligence on our part. So I just pray, Lord, that whatever's going on with my brother, Lord, that you would keep a hedge of protection about him and strengthen him in the faith, Lord. And I pray that you'd work it out for us to get together soon, Lord, that you put that on his heart and do the work necessary in both of us so that our fellowship will be even better and stronger and brighter in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else?
Michael?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Joe.
I just would like to pray for me and Nora just to keep our eyes and ears on the Lord during this festive time, please.
Yes, sir. We can. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Joe and Nora to you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to give them wisdom. You're going to give them discernment. Father, we ask that in the name of Jesus. You give them great discernment, great wisdom and understanding, Father, of what's going to happen up ahead, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're placing a hunger in Joe and Nora, too, for the Word of God and understanding what it says, Father. We ask that you give them dreams and visions, Father, of the things that are going to happen in their area there, Lord. And we ask and we pray, Lord, that if you want them to move, if you want them to go to higher ground or whatever it is, Lord, that you'd let them know. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you for your hedge of protection around them, Lord, that you're going to protect them and keep them from all harm. In Jesus' name. You believe that, Joe?
Yes, we do. Thank you very much.
Amen. Praise God. Well, all right. Anybody else?
Yes, this is Wade.
Hey, Wade.
Pray for me that God will give me wisdom and discernment. That okay. I'll put the enemy's attacks away faster by faith.
Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for Wade and Jeanette. We ask, Lord, that you give him understanding, wisdom, and discernment, Lord. Discernment and warn him when these attacks are coming so he can get ready for them and go ahead and get into battle for them, Lord. And he can just call those things that are not as though they were, Lord. Give him great faith to believe what your word says, Lord, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the mighty work and the mighty spiritual warriors you're making out of Wade and Jeanette in Jesus' name. We ask for your protection on them, too, in the days ahead, Father. And we thank you for the work that you're doing in them in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen. Thank you. God bless
you. You too. All right, anyone else? Well, Lord, we thank you for another wonderful evening of fellowship. We thank you, Lord, that You've opened up our eyes to understand that we need to get closer to you and make you our friend, Lord, that we can walk with you in the cool of the morning. Praise God. Lord, we just ask for your protection upon all the people of the conference call and the fellowship. And Father, we ask that you be their fellowship from now on. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're doing a mighty work in every one of us. Tonight's going to be a great night's sleep. Tomorrow's going to be a wonderful day looking toward you, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, everybody. God bless.